You have your Bible open to Luke. Missions. What are we talking about? Missions. We think about taking missions offering. We think about people going to Africa or to Mexico or anywhere else. As far as I can tell from studying the Bible for these many, many years, there's no reason in the world that you're still here as a Christian except for one thing. And that is to be a blessing and a benefit to others and to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. He loved us. He died for us. He prayed to the Father, "Father, I pray they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory." His ultimate goal in coming and dying for us that we might go to heaven. And men, listen, you think about as a Christian, you think about all the problems you'd miss. Think about the sickness you've been through, the sadness you've been through. And why would God leave you here if He's already made it possible for you to go to heaven? You've trusted Him. Your ticket's punched. You got the ticket in hand. You're ready to go. Why did God leave you here? He left you here to be a blessing to somebody else, to help to build the body of Christ and be a blessing to God's people, to love one another, care one for another, encourage one another, forgive one another, but also to carry the gospel to everybody. So what's that mean? It means everybody in this building that knows Christ, everybody in the sound of my voice that knows Christ, you are a missionary. It's somebody who shares the gospel, and God has you in a certain area. You have a sphere of influence wherever you work, wherever you go to school, wherever you are. And I'm going to tell you something. God's going to hold me accountable for my area. He's going to hold you accountable for your area. We have responsibility. God will hold us accountable for our faithfulness to Him, for our prayer, for our support, for our effort to try to get people saved. We all have that responsibility. Now, I felt like the Lord laid an unusual verse. I was praying on my this week about the mission. I have been for some time, about this series of meetings and what I'd preach on is God, what God had me to. I want to bring you a message this morning with an unusual title. I want to preach to you on a mission message from hell. Look in your Bible, please, in Luke chapter number 16. There was verse number 19. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19 is where we'll begin. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, betwixt us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would come pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence." Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." And Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." Would you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir, the congregational singing this morning, for the men who you have, Lord, designated. They are candidates to serve. You know exactly who you want to serve this coming next 3 years as a deacon here. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless. Thank you for the specials this morning. Thank you for anointing the choir and Brother Brad. And God, I pray now you'd speak to my heart and the heart of our friends here. Lord, I pray you'd make it very real to me, but not just in head knowledge, but in my life, that God, I would be a missionary everywhere I go. And I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I mentioned the fact that we are, in fact, missionaries. We have that responsibility and that obligation, and we have accountability. God will hold us accountable. In the book of Ezekiel, he says, if I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die. And then he said to us, we are to go warn him. He said, if you don't go and you speak to them, that wicked man will die in his sin, but his blood will I require at thy hand. That speaks of our accountability for sharing the gospel. We cannot save anybody. We can't make them change. We can't make them accept the gospel. And our job is not to do that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. He came to convict of sin, righteousness, judgment. He came to draw us. No man can come to the Father but by me, and no man can come to me except by the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus said. That's all the work of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not just where I'm standing, but it means you. You. If you take the word preach and take the P off of it, you get the word eat or reach. And if you take the R off, you get the word each. What it means is this, that each one of us are to reach people with the gospel wherever we are. And so the term preach in that passage of Scripture doesn't necessarily mean in the pulpit preaching, but it means life preaching every day. Around everybody you meet, it is sharing the gospel message with them. In this story, there's so many things that spoke to my heart, and I'll share as many as I can, and I trust God to speak to our heart as I share with you this mission message from hell. You see the story. You understand what's going on. In the first place, I'd suggest to you things as I read this passage, God spoke to my heart this week. Number one, sin and Satan do not always dress their servants or their victims in rags. Satan and sin do not always dress their servants or victims in rags. Here's a man who's lost and on his way to hell. He wears purple, fine linen, and he fares sumptuously every day. He lives in what we'd call a palace, and yet he dies and goes to hell. There are good people, successful people, people in every walk of life, business, lawyers, farmers, nurses, doctors, housewives, school teachers, and they're good people. We were reading this morning in the Sunday school class about a good man named Cornelius, but good people. They're good people that are lost and on their way to hell. They don't look lost. You see people somewhere else. You may identify them because of their appearance, because of the marks of sin in their life, because of the way they're not well kept. You'd identify them as somebody who's a sinner. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of lost people are very successful people, very rich people, very famous people. They are very, very well known. They are idolized by many, and they'll be in hell for all eternity. Satan doesn't always dress his victims or his slaves or his servants in rags. On the other hand, everybody who's saved doesn't always enjoy a lot of earthly benefits. I'm so very thankful for what God's done for me. I know you are. There are some who in this building have wonderful, huge homes, some who live in smaller homes. And you may drive this type of car, that type of car. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is that you know the Lord. Here's a man who gets to go to heaven. He's a beggar. Evidently, he's not even able to get up and to go anywhere. I don't know if he's paralyzed. I don't know if he just doesn't have a way to get to where he's going. But the Bible said he's laid at the gate of this rich man. Somebody takes him there every day. And he's full of sores. And dogs come and lick his sores. And he's begging for crumbs from the rich man's table. And yet when he dies, he enters into heaven, into the very presence of God. I won't go into all of the things about paradise and this, that, and the other today. But he's saved. He's on his way to heaven. That a lot of people who live a very modest lifestyle never had. They worked an hourly wage all their life. They have a family, have children. They never have the fine cars. They never have the other thing. They don't have a place at the lake or the beach. They don't have any of those things. But they know Jesus, and they're going to go to heaven. That's the first lesson that I learned as I went through here. There's a second very simple lesson. Everybody dies. The rich man died, and Lazarus died. The rich man died, lost, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being tormented. Lazarus died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, into a place that we would call paradise, which eventually they'll be taken into the very presence of God, in a place called heaven for all eternity. My dear friend, here they are. But the truth of the matter is that everybody dies. Some die because of the wage of sin. The wage of sin is death. Everybody in this building, I don't care who you are, 120 years from now, you won't be here. You're going to go somewhere. Everybody dies. You may not believe the Bible. You may not believe what a preacher says. You may not believe what a Sunday school teacher says. But my dear friend, if you look across the street, there's a cemetery. That's a silent testimony to the validity of the truth that every man dies. And the wages of sin is death. Everybody in this building, unless Jesus comes, will die. Everybody dies. The truth is that one man died lost. One man died saved. One man knew Christ. The third lesson I want to learn from this morning is this, that everybody lives forever. You say, Brother Billy, you're contradicting yourself. Now you said every man was going to die, but yet you said they live forever. I'm just reading what I saw in the Bible. I see in the Bible, there's a man who died, and there was a man here who had been dead for many years, whose name was Abraham, and he was still alive. He was still knowledgeable. He could still talk. And then Lazarus, who died, he was in that place of comfort. And the rich man died, but yet he was alive. He left this earthly body behind. But what I'm saying is this, that everybody in this building, not only will come a time when your heart quits beating and some coroner will pronounce you dead, but my dear friend, you'll still be alive somewhere. Either in heaven or in hell, that's the only two places to go. And as Brother Tom Gillum said, you may not believe in heaven or hell, but the truth of the matter is you ain't staying here. You're going to go somewhere, heaven or hell. And according to the Word of God, everybody lives forever. The only difference is one lives in heaven, one lives in hell. One lives in pain eternally, one lives in comfort eternally. One lives in a place where there's unquenchable thirst. One lives in a place where there's total satisfaction. One lives in a place of darkness while the other lives in blessed light. One lives weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth while the other lives rejoicing for all eternity. One lives in endless night and weeping where the other lives in eternal bliss and blessing. There's a difference between people, and it's how they die. Notice something else I learned from this. The man who's in hell has a message for me and you. He begged Abraham to send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in water and cool his tongue. Just one drop of water. One minute after he died, everything he'd worked all his life for was gone. You may have worked hard to become whatever you are today. You may have amassed a fortune. You may have invested your money wisely. You may have bought real estate. You may have it in good mutual funds or whatever. You may have, you're just set. But my dear friend, the minute you die, the second you die, the split second, the blink of an eye that you die, everything you worked all your life for belongs to somebody else. And you'll never get it back again. Never. Never. My dear friend, I've noticed this. This man in hell has a message. He couldn't get any satisfaction himself. He couldn't get just one drop of water. He was eternally confined to the regions of the damned. But he had a burden for missions. He had a burden for his family. And he said, I want you to send Lazarus then. Go send Lazarus to my father's house. I've got five brothers. I don't want him to die and come to hell. You go tell them. Let them go tell them. Notice, I'll get to that in a moment. But they do that. The Word of God, and when he said that, Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Here's the fourth lesson I've learned. I've learned that this Bible has the words of deliverance. It's the words of this prophet. It's the word of the prophets. And then our New Testament in this word, these things have I spoken unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. These words were given to us in this Bible to help us to grow, but that you might come to know that you have the eternal life, that you know Christ. It's these words that said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is these words where Christ said, I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give my life a ransom. It is these words that says, hanging on a cross when he'd have been abused and mocked and beaten and hardly even resembled a human being, he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is this Bible, it's this book, it says on the morning of that third day, he came out of the grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And it's he who was dead, and he's alive, and he's alive forevermore, and he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. This Bible gives life. It is a gospel message. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's this Bible. The words of the Bible, the words of the prophets, the word of the New Testament have power to deliver. But here's the fifth lesson I learned. Somebody has to share it. It's a very powerful thing, the gospel. God chose the foolish as a preacher. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. On the road to down in that place of desert, down toward Gaza, a man had come to Jerusalem seeking to know God and have a relationship with him, and he came away from there empty. All the religious of the Judaism and all the ceremony and all of that left him empty. Religion, Baptist religion, Assembly of God religion, Catholic religion, it'll leave you empty. You don't need religion. You need a relationship with a holy God. And that's only possible through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Philip joined himself by the Holy Ghost of God to that chariot, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. As a lamb led to the slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Philip said to that man, do you understand what you're reading? He said, no. How can I accept some man guide me? I don't know why God chose to do it. He entrusted to people like me and you the greatest message ever told. I don't know if I'd have done that, but I'm not God. God's wise. But I know how we are. We're so neglectful. We have the word of life. We can share the gospel that people can be born again by the grace of God. It has to be told. Notice what he said in verse 28. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them that they come not to this place. He wanted Lazarus to go and tell him. I don't know if Lazarus, evidently he had talked to him about his relationship with God. He heard it, and it's like water off a duck's back. But he knew that Lazarus knew what made a difference in his life, why he was comforted. And he was in, and the rich man was in hell. And he said, I want him to go testify. My dear friend, witness, missions, whatever it is nothing except this, testifying, testifying. If you're ever called to be a witness in a courtroom and to share testimony, they don't want you to give your opinion. The judge will hit his gavel. You can't do that. You can't give your opinion. He wants one thing. I want the truth and nothing but the truth. My dear friend, testify means that you're telling the truth. You're sharing the gospel. You're not obligated to make them believe it, but you have to tell it. You have to share it. And somebody's got to go. Somebody has to go. That's what missions is all about. Somebody's got to go. Once you hear it, once they hear the gospel, what are they to do? Verse number 30. And he said, Nay, Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He knew enough now in hell that you have to repent and turn from your sin and turn to the Savior if you're going to go to heaven. And that's what you testify about. You testify about who Christ is. You testify about the reality of hell. You testify about the reality of heaven. And you testify about responsibility. That is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They're to turn from their sin and turn to the Savior. And then it's on them. Whoever you testify, they have to repent. They have to believe. You're in this building this morning. How do you get to go to heaven? I could baptize you. And baptize you and baptize you. You never would go to heaven. I can have the church to vote to receive you into membership. That won't get you into heaven. We could teach you the Word of God and all those things. Teach you how to act, how to treat one another, how to be nice, this, that, and the other. That wouldn't get you to heaven. The only way to get to heaven is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that you're a sinner. Repent of your sin and believe on the Lord and trust Him as your personal Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. No denominational tags, nothing. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. What do I plead when I get to heaven? My good works, my baptism, my catechisms that I've memorized, whatever? No. The only people get into heaven is those who have Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. Have you ever asked Him to come in your heart? Have you ever asked Him to come to you? I learned a seventh lesson that I wrote down. This man wanted Lazarus to go into where he was at, and he said, you can't do that. He said, there's a great gulf fixed between heaven and hell. Nobody can go out of heaven, out of hell, into heaven. Nobody in heaven wants to go to hell. They don't want to get out. Everybody in hell wants to get out. But when you die, you don't have another chance. Only the living, only those who hear the gospel audibly, only those who hear it in their heart, only those who believe on Lord Jesus Christ while they're living get to go to heaven. After death, there's no second chance. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now. Accept Him now. What's the mission message here out of the pit of hell? Go tell my brethren that they come not to this place. Don't want to go. I prayed, rode around the church last night and prayed. I said, oh God, please kindle in my heart once again that fire, that flame, that when I look at a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, I see them not as they are, but as they will be one day without Christ, tormented day and night forever in a place called hell where the fire is not quenched. The reason for missions, the motive for missions is that men and women, boys and girls will die. Hell's a reality. They'll be there for all eternity. What is my obligation? This man in hell, number one, he prayed. He prayed to Abraham. You have a responsibility to pray. The Lord said, pray you therefore the Lord of harvest that He sent forth laborers. You and I, during the month of March, I hope you'll pray more for missions than ever before. Get your world map. Get your county map. Get a local map and start praying. Our emphasis is this community, this area of the county, this state, the world. We start in our Jerusalem right here. You can go any direction you want to around here now. When I first came here, there'd be a house here and a house there and a house there. You won't have to go 3 or 4 miles from here, and you'll see 100 houses in one wad, 75 houses in a place. Everybody in those houses will be in heaven or hell. We have a lot to pray about. When you're riding down the road, pray. Ride by subdivision, you pray. When you're coming back from Raleigh, pray. I do that anyway, and you do too, but I'm talking about praying for their salvation and praying that they'd get to go to heaven and praying. Pray the Lord to send somebody. Pray the Lord to get somebody to them. I watch the news anymore, and I hear about this tragedy and that tragedy. And in my heart, I whisper, oh God, I pray they were saved. If not, I pray through this tragedy their family would get saved. God, please don't let them go to hell. We have responsibility to pray. We need to burden. This man in hell He was begging for one drop of water. If there was anything more urgent, anything more burdensome to him than desiring one drop of water, it was that he had five brethren who'd be in that hell for all eternity. He had a burden for them. You and I need to ask God to give us a new burden, to give us a burden for lost people. Yeah. Have a desire to see people saved. Make us so conscious that everybody we meet is going to live forever somewhere. And we might say one word, one kind gesture, a gospel tract, a CD, and they'll live forever. And then you and I need to be part of that ministry. You and I need to be seed sowers and tract sowers and CD sowers and testify. And anybody can do it. Boys and girls can share the gospel. Men and women, teenagers. I pray that one of these days we'll see teenagers come in this church, sit with somebody they've led to Christ and walk down the aisle with them and say at school, at work, at play, at basketball game or somewhere, this is my friend I've been witnessing to and praying for him and her, and she's trusted Christ, he's trusted Christ, wants to be make it public to everybody. They've been saved, want to be baptized, that seniors will bring folk and fill the building up with people, their loved ones, their family, everybody that needs to know Christ. More about missions, not more just giving money, not more just sending somebody, but being involved. I want you to bow your heads. Brother Brad's going to come. A mission message from hell. And set the theme for the whole month. Why missions? Brother Billy, why are we doing all this? Let's hurry up and get through this and get to the Easter drama. Hurry up and get through that and get to camp meeting. We want to shout, praise God. But I want us to have a burden. I want us to be a blessing. I want us to know that everybody you meet, everybody I meet, is going to be in heaven or hell. I know some few people that I consider to be great witnesses. I want to be a great witness. I want God to give me boldness in the marketplace and daily life. I want to be able to be conscious enough that I want to give a track or CD. God, use me. I'm going to ask you this morning, please stand, will you? Here's what I want us to do this morning. First of all, if you're in this building and you said, Brother Billy, if I died, I don't know I'd go to heaven. I don't know Christ. Well, if you don't know Christ, he that hath the Son hath life. If you don't know him, and you say, Brother Billy, that man in hell prayed for his brethren, prayed for somebody to go to help them. Would you please pray for me? Please pray that I'd understand that I'd trust Christ. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And will you pray that I would be saved? Let me tell you something. I'll repeat it because we may have new people in the building. I will not embarrass you. I'm not going to single you out. I won't even try to catch you in the hallway or the foyer. If you come to me, I'll talk with you if you want to talk. If you want to make an appointment for later, I'll do that. But I'm not going to embarrass you in here. I want to do what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you. Nobody's looking. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I'm going to open my eyes now and I'm going to look. Across the building to my right, two sections over here, is there anybody here who said, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven? And would you please pray for me right now? Would you raise your hand all the way to the back? Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. Anybody else on this side? Write it right back down. I'm not going to... All right. Now to my left, two sections. If you're here, you say, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Anybody in this section over here? The two sections to my left, anybody? Thank you so very much. Others? Anybody else? Anybody else? In church, those who know Christ, will you help me pray? Heavenly Father, we have friends today standing exactly where I have stood before and where most all of these people in this church have stood before. They're in a place between heaven and hell. God, I know they want to know the truth because they've indicated they want to go to heaven. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would make it very clear to them that you love them, you gave your Son to die for them, that he has paid all of their sin debt. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Father, I pray that God, you would bring them to a place where they're willing to turn from their sin and turn to the Savior. And I pray, God, you'd grant faith and repentance that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and call on His name and receive you as their Savior and Lord. And I'll thank you. If you're in this building this morning and you're a Christian, and you'd say to me, Brother Billy, I know Christ, and there's been times that I've tried to witness, and I have witnessed and done this, that, and the other. But I want God to do more in me and through me and with me in 2024. I want to be more involved in missions, in prayer, in support, giving. I want to be more involved in missions, in personal witness. I want to be a missionary. Preacher, pray that God give me boldness. Pray that God help me. And if you're like that this morning, would you raise your hand? Oh, a great sea of hands this morning. I, Heavenly Father, I with my friends who raised their hand, Lord, the disciples prayed on that second occasion after Pentecost and said, God grant that we might have boldness. God give us boldness. Our Father, give us the boldness to witness to our loved ones and friends. And God, I pray that you'd give us the right word. You said you would. Help us to take every opportunity to sow the seed, to give tracts and CDs, or write notes and letters, use social media. God, help us to be a witness for Christ. Oh God, what a difference it'd make if all of us who raised our hands, our Father, this month, Lord, would allow you to use us. God, I believe we'd see people through this month and in revival in the next week or so. I believe we'd see them walk in the aisle and trust in Christ. Lord, what a joy it would be that if we had witnessed to so many people around us and everywhere, that people in Johnson County and Harnett County and Cumberland County and all the way up into Wake County, that they would trust Christ and be baptized and be members of churches in those areas. Lord, help us to be a missionary and do what you'd have us to do. Bless our friends who raised their hand just now. Now, friends, we'll keep our heads bowed. We're going to go. Brad's going to sing a verse or two, a song. I want to invite you that you've raised your hand to be saved. If you want to be saved today, today is the day of salvation. I believe there's some ladies who'd pray with the ladies, men who'd pray with the men. If you'd like to come and trust Christ, I'd invite you to come. I'll greet you here at the front. If you're here and you're a Christian and God spoke to your heart, let me invite you to come either to kneel or stand and pray. Present your body again, living sacrifice to serve Him. I invite you to do those two things right now as Brad sings. Will you come? I'll meet you at the front.